ETCs go.
Pegasus is go.
ETCs go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Brightside Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Greg Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Friday night edition of the show, 27th of May already. Welcome to it, everybody. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you today?
I'm excited. Really? Big holiday weekend.
Ah, but you know, somebody, a friend of mine on Facebook, put up a very interesting post, and I have to say I agreed with her 100%. All this, you know, sales on Memorial Day and parties on Memorial Day and going to the beach and having a great time. It's a 3-day weekend. In a way, it's kind of disrespectful. This isn't Veterans Day. This is we're honoring those who made the ultimate sacrifice, who gave their lives to keep us safe and free at home. And in a way, what's being done is kind of sacrilegious.
Well, you know, I understand that. I wrote an article about that several years ago, you know, where at the end of the article I said, look, I understand, you know, Memorial Day has come to mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. You know, it's when a lot of people go to the cemeteries and decorate the graves of relatives. You know, that died not in wars, but just died. People, like you said, go out on picnics, they go to the beach, they go to the lake, they go fishing, they go camping, they do this, they do that. You know, but I always tell people, somewhere in there, take a little time, find a cemetery close to you, and go pay your respects to somebody who has a military headstone.
Yeah, I've done the same thing. I've written the same thing and said basically very similar to what you said. Yeah. And I usually post it every Memorial Day weekend. But it seems no matter what anybody says, it's been turned into a big party. And the real meaning of Memorial Day has gotten lost.
It has. I agree with you wholeheartedly, which makes what I'm going to say next seem pretty cheap and cheesy, but it's Indy 500 weekend.
Oh, that doesn't thrill me. I mean, I could care less about that.
I am a huge Indy 500 fan, have been since I was a little kid. I started following it when I was 4. Mm-hmm. And I have never missed watching an Indy 500. I will not be missing this one either on Sunday, weather permitting, of course, in Indianapolis. But Scott Dixon sitting on the pole at 234 miles an hour. It's going to be a good race. Going to be fun to watch.
I like car races. In fact, my first date ever when I was a teenager was to car races, and I loved them. But somehow, I don't know, on Memorial Day, I think this person really had a point.
Well, they have a point. I agree with the point. But let's also look at it this way. Memorial Day You know, it's that day where we honor those who gave everything.
Mm-hmm.
In defense of our country, in defense of our freedom, and gave everything on behalf of other people. You know, and I will be, we've got a lot of military graves in our little cemetery here in my town, and I will be going over there this weekend and paying my respects to those good people. So,
okay, well, being that I live down here and my parents are buried up north, my brother already went to the cemetery and put the flag by my father's grave. He's a 2-time Purple Heart recipient. And it's, you know, the more I think about what this person said, the more I agree with them. I'm not going to be shopping on Memorial Day or any of that.
I don't go shopping any day. So,
well, you don't have any shopping near you.
You know, that helps in that regard. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
But no, I've never understood, you know, Memorial Day sales, Labor Day sales, President's Day sales, this sale, that sale, 4th of July sale. You know, there is never a day in the 365-day calendar when mattresses are not on sale.
That's true.
I mean,
there's too many mattress stores. They don't know how to get rid of them anymore.
I just don't understand how they can. Oh, this is, we're having a big mattress. You have a mattress sale every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, come on, let's get real. But no, it's going to be a big weekend. I would advise people who are traveling, no matter what the reason, be careful out there. There's a lot of lunatics on the road. You know, watch out for the other guy. Be safe and, you know, be back here for another show on Tuesday.
Right. And it's going to be a big show on Tuesday.
Yeah. What are you working on for Tuesday?
Let's put it this way. The title of mine is Gun Control and Monkeypox Woes.
All right.
And as funny as the title sounds, it's really serious. Because I have 3 solutions to ending this gun violence. And none of it involves getting rid of the Second Amendment or impinging on our rights.
Well, that's good. I'm taking on, remember the Ministry of Truth, Biden's disinformation governance board? I'm taking that on. Yeah, I'm going after that thing. Thank God that's gone. But I'm gonna fill people in as to exactly how and why it collapsed.
Okay, good.
All right. But we've got all sorts of things to talk about in our show tonight. Quick show tonight, 1 hour, 2 segments. Let's start down in Texas. You know, Tuesday, when we came on the air this past Tuesday, just a few days ago, news was breaking out of Texas faster than we could keep up with it. And in the 2 or 3 days since last Tuesday, we have come to learn a lot more about what went on in Texas. And honestly, it's pathetic.
Yeah, the lies told are not only bad on the surface just because they were lies, but can you imagine being one of the parents or the husband of the 2 teachers that were murdered? But can you imagine the parents being lied to about how their children died, which is basically through gross negligence? Because it seems now that the timeline that's coming out, they didn't have to die.
At least some of them probably could have been saved. Yes. I'll tell you somebody else who ought to be really, really, really pissed off is Governor Greg Abbott. He came out last Tuesday, held a press conference, and he talked in glowing terms of the police response and everything, because the officials, the police officials from that town, they told him, well, this is what happened and this is what we did. Well, it turns out that pretty much everything Greg Abbott said about the police and their response was false. Not his right. fault. Well, he wasn't the one false. Making up the lies.
Don't even call it false. Call it what it was. It was a bunch of lies to cover for total ineptitude.
I mean,
cowardness.
Yeah, the cowardice involved in this thing. We thought it was bad at the school in Florida when one school resource officer turned and went the other way. And right. what happened in Texas on Tuesday makes that look like small potatoes. When you have
Absolute.
Yeah, when you have a shooter coming into a school building through a door that was propped open apparently by a teacher, yet he's outside the school firing gunshots for 10 minutes before he ever goes in the school. And then the police go in the school and wait another 45 minutes before they even attempt to breach the door into that classroom. That is beyond the pale.
Right. And then when they were questioned about the resource officer, where was he? The resource officer should have sprung into action. Well, they say he wasn't on campus. Well, where was he? Well, we're not going to know that for quite a while.
Why not?
Did he take off? Did he turn coward and hightail it and run? And what's even more grievous about this, and in my article next week I have it, there is a picture of the creep entering the school with a rifle. And while those 45 minutes were going on, the teachers and the children were actually calling out to family, friends, whatever,
911
phones.
They were even calling 911.
And nothing was done. Yeah, nothing was done. They stood there.
Yeah, I mean, and we've lost Diane here. Oh, there. Okay, you're back.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
I mean, this is a joke. This is a joke what happened there. And I never thought I would say this, but I think those parents really need to seriously consider a major negligence suit against the police department of the town.
I think there will be multiple such lawsuits against the town, against the police department, against the school. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
and there should be.
It's just horrific. I mean, kids were calling 911, and as we found out today, Diane, the dispatcher at 911 was not passing the information on to the police that were on the scene.
That's what they're saying, but I kind of find that hard to believe. Here it is, you have on the camera a person entering the school with a rifle. They knew that he was in there, and they were going to just stand around and wait.
Well, and the excuses they're giving.
There's something really wrong here. There's something really wrong here. And it's just to the point, this stuff has to stop. But the answer to stopping it is not taking away guns, but making guns work for you. And I'll get into that in my article. It's very simple. But instead of the Democrats coming down, we need to ban rifles and these no-gun zones. That stuff only works for people who obey the law. It does not work right. for people who give a damn about the law. And the sooner these people understand it, the better off we'll be. Plus, they're making all sorts of excuses for this kid. He was bullied. He was this and that. His mother was a drug addict. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, he's mentally unstable. You know what? The gun didn't kill them. He killed them.
Right.
He pulled the trigger. A gun is an inanimate object. It doesn't do its stuff on its own. It takes a person to do it. And that's what's being lost in this entire dialogue.
You know, Tuesday night when you and I were on the air and we were talking about, you know, what went down, I mentioned on the air that the kid wrecked his pickup truck outside of the school, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I said it was a black, looked like an F-150 four-door pickup truck, and the looked like the wheels on the driver's side were folded under, looked like he had slammed sideways into a curb or something. Well, you know, I only got a quick glimpse of that pickup truck in one news report, okay? Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen that pickup again since, except that I did get to see a still photo of it. And I've got serious questions. Okay? Mm-hmm. I mean serious questions. This kid apparently had two Daniel defense rifles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Those rifles cost almost $2,500 a piece. That pickup truck was a Ford F-250. All right? That thing runs at a dealership right now about $70,000 to $75,000. Okay, this kid was flipping burgers part-time at a Wendy's.
He might have stolen it.
You know? I want to know where he got the money to buy the guns. I want to know where that pickup truck came from. I've got serious questions. You know, this kid, this piece of garbage, should not have had that kind of money, not given what he was doing.
Well, I would think he stole the car. It was claimed in reports that he had gotten a lot of money for his 18th birthday. You know, that's probably BS. But you know what really bothers me? The Texas officials, and I'm not talking about the police, I'm talking the politicians and all that, they came out and said the decision to not breach the classroom was made by the chief of police for the school district because he was convinced at that time that there was no more threat to the children and that they had time to organize. And to that I say, you damn liar. Because calls were getting through to the parents from the kids, and the parents were lined up there begging them to go in, and they didn't.
Parents wanted to go in themselves, and the police held them back.
Right. Heads need to roll in this case. This is not the same type of case like Parkland in my home state of Florida, not far from where I am. That's a totally different case because the police were on scene, except for that one resource officer, the one who was a coward. But the police were there. They responded, whatever. This, the police sat around as spectators. And that is unforgivable.
Well, and we're also finding
a border patrol agent. It took a border agent to take this creep out.
We're also finding out that this creep was firing at people across the street at a funeral home. Then he turned the gun and started firing it at the school building all before he ever went in. He spent 10 minutes outside the building just firing his rifle at anything that moved or at the building itself.
And no one was, you know, doing anything about it. The reason all the parents, or I should say a lot of parents, were there was because just right before all this started, there was a big award ceremony in the school. So people were there. Right. They witnessed all of this. Yeah, we're not making this story up. No one is trying to defame police. But you have to understand, too, what happened? Why did the police totally freeze? And guess what, folks? Craig and I are going to be writing an article on why they did what they did.
at least why we think they did what they did.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, there are some telltale things involved here, and we're going to bring this up. It's not going to be for next Tuesday. It'll be for the week after.
Right.
Because we're going to spend some time digging into this story a little bit and seeing what else we can find out before we get this article put together. But good Lord.
This gives our good policemen and women a bad name when they don't deserve it.
How to make a terrible situation worse, 101.
Exactly. And hey, maybe that's the title.
You know, it's just the, you know, Governor Abbott is fuming mad. Texas Department of Public Safety, that's their highway patrol. Their guy gave another news conference today and laid some of this stuff out. Of course, people are mad at him, but, you know, the patrol had nothing to do with it. They're in charge of the investigation. And they're now telling people what they're finding in this investigation, and it's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be major, major suits, and rightfully there should be. Some heads will roll. There will be some firings. But the thing is, was this done on purpose? No. The police didn't just say, okay, we're going to let this guy go in and shoot up the school. No, nobody is saying that.
No, but.
Yeah, there's breach of command. There's a lot of cowardness involved here. And that little town really needs an overhaul from top to bottom, I'm afraid.
Well, I'll just throw out two words before we move to the next topic. Criminal negligence.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
And I think there's going to be a case to be made with that. Moving on to other news, Joe Biden is in the news again, probably not for anything he's too happy about, but then again, he may not even realize it.
That's too old. You know, that's true. You know, basically what it boils down to, we the people know, first of all, Joe Biden is too old. And we don't just mean chronologically, but mentally too old, too slow. And let's be honest, Craig, he's just too damn stupid to be president.
You know, there's a lot of truth in that. Here's the thing. There's been surveys. There's been polls, you know, stuff done. I want to know who in the hell are the 47% of people polled who still think he's mentally up to the challenge?
I don't believe that number. I really don't believe it, because all you have to do is listen to him speak, watch his accent, you know, his actions, I should say, his ramblings, never answering a direct question, his, you know, pulling things out of the wool, especially the recent one about if Taiwan is attacked, we will go in there military.
Oh, we lost Diane again. Hang on, folks. Where's the submarine sound? Oh, you're back. No submarine sound this time. Okay.
Well, basically what I was saying is, you know, he doesn't know what he's saying. He makes things up. Like when he said about if Taiwan is attacked by China, we will go in militarily. No. That is not part of the agreement that was made with Taiwan. The agreement was we would aid them with military weapons, money, and that type of thing. Nowhere in the agreement did it say anything about us going in militarily, because what Joe Biden did was he just baited China.
Yeah, big time. Big time. Today, he was giving a speech at Annapolis, Maryland, to the Navy, you know, because it's Memorial Day weekend. And he told them, and he's told this same lie over and over. He told them that he's been in and out of Iraq and Afghanistan 38 to 40 times. Of course, the White House had to immediately walk that back and say, no, actually, it's been 21 times.
Okay.
But he doesn't, I mean, A, he doesn't know where he is most of the time. B, how can we expect him to know how many times he's been in some other country?
Yeah, he doesn't know where he is half the times. And when he does know where he is, it's because, let's say, the teleprompter has on it, you are in Spain, let's say, or whatever.
Right.
He really has no clue. He is mentally and medically unfit to hold office. However, the caveat with all that is, look what would be president. She's even more ludicrous and a joke than he is.
Now, where was he just recently? He was out of the country.
Japan and South Korea.
How much you want to bet while he was in Japan, he said, hey, anybody know a good Chinese restaurant?
I actually wouldn't doubt it.
You know, I mean, holy crap. You know, yeah. But 47% of the people polled say they think he's still mentally fit. Okay, but now you got to balance that with the fact that apparently 43% of his Twitter followers are fake.
Exactly. So probably the questions were given to fake accounts, whatever. But you also have to look at this other number. 62% of Americans believe that Biden is showing that he's too old to be president. Only 38% think otherwise, and amongst independents, which are very critical in 2022 and 2024, 72% think he's showing he's too old to be president, as opposed to 28%.
You know, and here's the funny thing. He's not really that much older than President Trump.
Right.
Okay.
But there's a difference. There's a difference. President Trump is a healthy individual.
Duh.
Joe Biden is medically ill.
Mentally, medically, everything. Right. You know, I mean, he's going downhill faster than a roller coaster off the rails. 36% of people now approve of Joe Biden's performance in office. 36%. That's down from 39% a week ago.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the lowest in history. Probably Jimmy Carter hit, you know, pretty low there. This whole thing with Biden, people still need to understand it's not Biden calling the shots.
Right.
It's Obama. And until people understand that, we're going to keep going through hell. This man is going via Obama. He's going to destroy everything that America is.
Or ever was or ever could have been.
Exactly.
You know, and I mean, this is horrendous what's going on in this country.
Yeah. In all the years that I've been involved in this kind of stuff, there's only one time I've ever agreed with Joe Biden on anything. And that was fairly recently when he said Vladimir Putin needs to be taken out. That is the only time I have ever agreed. Was that a minute of lucidity or moment of lucidity that he had? Or was that on his teleprompter? I don't know.
I don't know. That's the problem. You don't know.
Right.
You know?
Right. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous.
Well, and the whole world is watching. You know, the whole world is just doing a face palm every time he says anything.
Yeah, and we're being made a laughing, you know, stock. We, the number one superpower, the world's greatest military, that's all in the past right now.
Sadly.
Can it be brought back? Exactly. It can, of course.
Sure.
But right now, we're a laughing stock.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thankfully, November's coming.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it's more important than ever that those polls are watched. And because remember, even though, you know, all the pollsters seem to say Republicans are going to run away with it, don't be so sure.
Yeah,
thought Trump was going to run away with it, too.
Don't get lackadaisical. Folks, it's the bottom of the hour. That means we got to take a quick little break, get a couple of station IDs in. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Elon Musk and about the midterm election.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's long-time Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. Friday night edition of the show. If you miss any part of it, all you have to do is go to RSPRadio1.com tomorrow, click on the podcast button, and this show will be at the top of the list.
Yes. At least we hope so.
Yeah, that's the plan. Yeah, that's the way we got it worked out on paper.
Yes.
We'll see what happens. No, it'll be there. Come on, folks. It'll be there. Have faith. You know, Elon Musk is really becoming one of the most interesting people, you know, and, which means he'll never make Time Magazine's most interesting people. But, you know, the guy is fascinating. I saw an interview with Elon Musk that was done just a little while ago at the facility in Texas, Boca Chica, Texas, for SpaceX. And, you know, we know he's got a lot of money. We know he hires a lot of great engineers and stuff. It's remarkable how much he knows about the inner workings of every part of those rockets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he's also, you know, not only is he into the free speech thing, you know, working on buying Twitter and all that, but he has also just in the last day or so come out and started talking about the future of the economy of this country in a way you wouldn't expect somebody like him to bring up.
I think what he's done is absolutely brilliant because there's a lot of truth in the words he has to say. Now, he was asked if, you know, what he thought a recession would do. Would it be bad? Would, you know, how long will it last? Whatever. And his response was that he thinks there will be a recession in the near future and that it will be a good thing. And why? Because money has been raining too long on fools. some bankruptcies need to happen. Now, when you are a businessman like him, who has made a fortune through hard work and knowing how to buy and sell and when to walk away from something, when to invest in something, that happens to be very, very good advice, because he added to that all the COVID stay-at-home stuff has tricked people into thinking that you don't actually need to work hard. So now we're in for a rude awakening because of that. And he's right. He also said companies that are inherently negative cash flow-wise need to die so that they can stop consuming resources. Well, that's another good thing. A company that's in business that is going absolutely nowhere but into the red, why are they still in business? Seriously.
You know, you don't hear any of this. You don't hear any of these truths coming out of people like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates.
No.
You know, that you know, a couple of people. You don't hear it coming out of Bezos. You know, there's Bezos, three people right there that you could say are comparable. You know, Elon's got more money than any of the others. But, you know, they are comparable people. They are peers, for lack of a better term, you know. But you don't hear that kind of truth coming out of Bezos or Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or any of those other multi-billionaires. But maybe it's because they're afraid to tell the truth.
Could very well be. Well, one of the favorite thing of mine that he said was, all the COVID stay-at-home stuff has tricked people into thinking that you don't actually need to work hard. And that's a rude awakening coming inbound. And you want to know something? That is really true. How many places of business, like mom and pops or small businesses or even major big box stores, have you seen with we're hiring signs all over the place?
Oh, yeah,
but
everywhere
you go. Nobody wants to work anymore. It's easier to stay home and collect those stimulus checks and the COVID checks than it is to get out there and work again.
You know, it's an amazing thing. How long does Elon think this? And, you know, I call him Elon because, you know, he and I are on a first name basis.
Okay.
How long does Elon think this is going to last? I mean, first of all, you know, all indicators are that we're heading toward a recession. It may not be this year, but certainly by next year we'll be in a recession. How long does he think such a thing would last?
He actually thinks it's going to last 12 to 18 months tops. That's it. That we'll get out of it pretty fast. And today, there's some credence in what he's saying, because when he put this out, that it will only last 12 to 18 months, possibly even less, the stock market shot up. This man is a major player, folks, and people need to accept that. They need to listen to him more. I call him a modern-day Renaissance man.
Why? Just because he has a good handle on American civics, even though he wasn't born in this country? Is he a Renaissance man because he understands finances and economy, not only his own economy, but world economy and national economy? Or is he a Renaissance man because, as a hobby, he builds rockets that will go to Mars?
No. He's building those rockets that go to Mars for a reason, because he's a space geek, like you and I are, Craig. He really sees the future and the possibilities in space. And that is...
Uh-oh. There you go again. Come on, Skype. There you are. Okay, you're back.
Okay. What sets him apart from the people like Bezos... Elon Musk, like I said, sees the possibilities with, that's it, make what? Money. Sending people on little mini vacations into space. They're coming from two totally different directions.
Let me.
You know, they both want to go into space, but one is doing it for the betterment of mankind.
Yeah.
The other one is doing it for the betterment of his own pocket.
Let me boil that whole thing down for you. Okay. Bezos wants to make big money. Elon Musk wants to do great things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's the difference right there.
Yeah.
You know?
I cannot stomach Bezos.
You know, when Elon Musk apparently isn't trumpeting free speech and solving major problems with the U.S. economy, he takes a little time out of his day and redesigns the reentry flaps for the Starship.
Right.
You know,
which is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, if you could see the inner workings of Elon Musk's mind, it would be it would be sensory overload for any normal person, I think.
A mind like his, an all-encompassing mind like that, only comes along, you know, every few hundred years. That's why I call him a Renaissance man. He's a modern-day Leonardo, a modern-day Michelangelo, a modern-day Galileo. I mean, you don't hear of anyone else doing the things he's doing, and he's good in different fields. He's not just laser focused on one, but he's good basically all the way around.
You know, folks, think about Elon Musk the next time you're trying to figure out how to change the time on your wristwatch. You know, because I mean, that's the boat most of us are rolling. It's like, which buttons do I push to change the digital time on my watch? You know, and then you got Elon Musk over there doing what he's doing. It's like, yeah, okay, great. Thanks for making the rest of us look bad.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what? He is an American. He's now voting Republican. So way to go, Elon.
Well, and let's take a little time tonight and talk about this upcoming election. I don't know if folks have heard about it, but we do have a midterm election coming up in November. And from all indications, you know, what people are saying, it's kind of a big deal, I guess. I don't know. But what we're finding out now is that some of the numbers that have been projected for Republican gains, specifically in the House of Representatives, have been revised, and they've been revised up.
Yeah. In fact, it's at a point now where the Republicans, if you have 12 seats up, Republicans that are held by Democrats, Republicans are now forecast to take, let's say, 10 of every 12 seats. This is going to be a political bloodbath for the Democrats, and no one deserves it more than they do.
They were talking earlier, I mean, by earlier, I mean a couple of months ago, they were talking about, you know, the Republicans may be gaining 12 to 15 seats in the House of Representatives, but now they're talking about, what, 25 to 30?
Yeah, actually 35.
Oh, 35, wow. That's substantial.
That would make the lock on everything. If we get back that House with that kind of margin, and then we get better in the Senate, Biden, Harris, whoever wants, Pelosi, whatever, they're basically politically impotent to do any more damage to this country.
Let me ask you the rhetorical question. Let's say we take the House by big numbers, because I believe we will.
I do, too. Okay.
So after the election, which is November 8th, which means they'll finish counting votes in March.
Yeah.
But once they get those all counted up and the shellacking is a done deal, will Nancy Pelosi retire or will she sit there?
She would become minority speaker. I don't know if her vanity would allow her that kind of downfall, but I also think she's narcissistic enough to want to remain a presence, and she will be a thorn in the Republican side.
You know, on election night, her face tapes may snap to the point where you don't want to be around her out of fear of losing an eye.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because those things are going to be flying off of her left and right. Are they saying anything at this point about what our chances are, Republican chances in the Senate?
They're still saying they're pretty good.
I mean, we're only down by one, really, in the Senate the way things are now, so we don't have to get a whole lot better.
And that's because the vice president gets to decide.
Right.
Yeah, that's because, you know, Harris gets to decide in a 50-50 split. I'm still hoping at the last minute that Joe Manchin either decides I'm going to switch to independent, Republican, whatever, but I think he would probably go independent, and that would kill everything for them right there. He's furious at his own party.
And rightly so. I mean, yeah. he's looking at the direction they're going, and normally you get to a midterm election, and the normal thing is that the party in power loses seats in a midterm election. It's just kind of a historical thing.
Right. Okay?
They're looking at, like you said, a wholesale bloodbath coming up on November 8th. With everything that's going on, okay, you look at the economy, you look at the border, you look at inflation, you look at gas prices, you look at food prices, shortages, you can't get baby formula in the stores, you look at our foreign policy, it's a damn disaster.
Right.
Okay, we're spending money in places we shouldn't ever be spending a dime. You know, right. we're doing everything that this regime is doing, because Obama's pulling the strings on the puppet. Everything that's been done has been done purposefully and for the purpose of ruining this country. Okay, they're trying to force socialism down our throats. The Green Deal is the worst piece of crap you can imagine. We're negotiating again with the Iranians for the Iranians to have nukes.
Right. It's the fundamental change of America that Obama promised.
You know, so you look at all of this. You look at you know, from Alpha to Omega on all of this. And there is just no way, because people are feeling, you know, the what matters to people, you know, Diane and I are a little bit different. We look at the bigger picture. But what matters most to people in this country is what they talk about at the kitchen table, and it's what they look at when they look at their bank balance at the end of the month. You know, those are the things that matter. And in a year where everything is going wrong, and people are feeling it to this extent, most administrations would try to make course corrections, try to get things back on track, but not this bunch of yahoos. They keep doubling down on the stupidity to make it even worse.
Well, they do it for a reason, because we have abortion, divert and deflect. We got, you know, monkeypox suddenly popping up, divert and deflect. And we also have still Dominion voting machines being used. They will do any and everything to taint and try to steal this election again.
I mean, if they do, let's just say, for instance, they manufacture enough votes out of thin air to hold on to the House. Is anybody going to believe that?
Doesn't matter, Craig, because no one's going to do a damn thing.
I mean, good freaking Lord. This is... If they somehow pull this off, this is going to make Trump's loss in 2020 look like a piker's deal.
Yeah, but the problem is, it might look like that, but unless you have people in power on our side willing to do something about it, I mean, we're still using Dominion machines. Why the hell are we using Dominion machines?
Because we got a bunch of nutless wonders running the show on our side.
There you go. We need some new Republican blood who has, you know, a good set, courage, fortitude, honor. You know, some of this old guard has to go. You know, bye-bye, Mitch McConnell. Your day in the sun is over. We need a change of blood on our side. And until that happens, you know, they can steal it again, and we're not going to do a damn thing about it.
This is why people cannot get complacent. This is why you can't get lackadaisical and think, oh, well, you know, we got this in November. You know, I don't have to show up and vote. We got this. Don't do that.
And that's the thing, Craig. Unless your state, you know, has mandatory mail-in ballots, don't mail in your vote. Vote in person. And here's something I do every time I vote, and I've done it since I was a poll watcher for years. When I do my vote and I do my punching of the card, I take a picture of my ballot. There's ever, you know, close calls in my district. Well, how close was it? Oh, it's off just by a few. Well, I want to see my ballot. Here's my ballot. Does it match what came through as my ballot?
Right.
You know, you got to outfool these people. You got to outthink them. And the only way to outthink them is you're not playing dirty. You're playing smart, actually. And we just have to stop the complacency. That's our problem, is we're complacent.
Republicans always seem to find a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah.
And that's got to stop. Yeah.
Yeah. It absolutely has to stop. We can't keep going on like this, or we will lose this country. And if you want Obama as your dictator,
oh,
you got serious problems.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I mean, that night, that Tuesday night, 8th of November, you and I will be on the air. We'll be watching the returns come in. We'll be covering it live.
All night.
All night until the middle of March when they're done counting. You know, and we'll be keeping track, and we'll know instantly when the House flips.
Right.
You know, and we'll know when the Senate does too, so.
Since you and I have been doing these live broadcasts, I'm very proud to say we have called every election correctly since we started.
Not only that, we call them ahead of the major networks.
Way ahead. Way ahead. You know, sometimes by hours.
In 2016, the Trump-Hillary thing, we called that almost 4 hours. It was like 3.5 hours. We called that ahead of any of the major networks.
Yep.
You know, I mean, now the last one, you know, Trump-Biden, we had a hard time calling that because the numbers kept changing. Trump would have, you know, let's use numbers that are easy to wrap your head around. Trump, let's say, would have 100 votes, and then a couple of minutes later, you know, in a given state, let's say Georgia, he'd have 100 votes, and then a few minutes later, he'd have 50 votes.
Right. Votes were actually taken away. Yeah.
You know, and we were watching that going, what the hell is going on here?
Well, we knew fraud was going on. But here's a key, guys, to calling an election. Don't look at the whole state picture. You need to look at the counties, and you need to mark off the counties as their tallies come in.
Well, and it helps.
That's what most people do not do.
Right. And it helps to know on the map which counties are liable to lean red, which ones are liable to lean blue, which ones are kind of in that gray area in the middle. And you know, and so you focus on those, you focus on the population centers and so on. And, you know, when you've been doing this as long as Diane and I have done this, you kind of, it's kind of ingrained in you. So you kind of look at those maps and you kind of figure it out.
Right.
The trick is not to outthink yourself or not try to prolong it, just to drag it out to make it more dramatic. When you see what's happening, you say it. That's what we do.
Right. And that's how we were able to call the 16 election literally before Fox, before ABC, NBC, CBS, all the alphabets, everything else. We did it by looking county at county.
Well, and we did it in 14.
Yes.
Okay, in the midterm in 14. We did it in 16. We did it in the midterm in 18.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, we've got a pretty good track record, and we're going to try our best to keep that up this year. But it can't get here fast enough for me.
No. And let's be honest, Craig, we actually called the losses in 2020.
Right. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We certainly did.
Much to our chagrin, we both realized pretty early on that we'd lost it.
Yep. So, you know, you want to tune in right here, Right Side Patriots, RSP, Radio1.com on election night in November. Of course, we'll be talking about that upcoming election maybe once or twice between now and then.
Maybe just once or twice.
But, you know, it is what it is. Well, Diane, I know we're a few minutes early, but what do you say we just wrap this up? I mean, it is, you know, the beginning of a three-day weekend for people. Like I said, if you miss any part of the show tonight, just go to rspradio1.com tomorrow. We'll have it up on the website. Just click the podcast button. It'll be right there on top.
Yep. Yes, it will. That's fine with me. So with that, nighty-night, guys, and remember the reason for Memorial Day weekend.
Pay honor to those who gave everything for the rest of us to be free. Have a great weekend. Be careful out there. We'll catch up with you on Tuesday. Good night, everybody.